Bienvenido, damas y caballeros. Welcome back to Freeform Radio on the Freeform Network. Remember to follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Freeform Network. But again, this is Freeform Radio. I am one of your hosts. My name is Daniel. Today with me is Noel.
Hey, everybody. Hope we have a good episode here today, and thank you for joining us.
And we have Andy.
It's all good, Andy, and the gang's all back together, and we're going to talk your ears off, guys.
Heck yeah, man. We're back together. The weather's supposed to be half decent nice today, man. I think it's like supposed to be in the 60s, so I told my wife, I'm like, it'd be nice if we can go out and do a little something, so we'll see where the afternoon takes us. But for now, we're here together, and we're about to get into some good conversation. And why don't you start us off here, Andy? WrestleMania just ended at the time of this recording last week. Why don't you fill us in on your thoughts and some of the good matches there, man?
Well, yeah, that's why I'm, you know, I'm the wrestling expert here, and you know,
I weigh.
I've been since we've been doing this podcast. I've always the Freeform Network's wrestling expert. You know,
how many experts are you at? Wrestling's one. What else you got there, man?
Baseball, football, college Jesus. Football, movie buff expert.
And what
you guys can do a lot for the rest of the expertise on the network.
Okay, we split the rest of them up between like, me and Noel.
Noel's like MMA an expert, you know, and then Danny, I guess you're just like, I don't know what you're an expert
is.
You're
oh, like, shit.
You know, you're always just like, I don't know. Yeah.
Video game
I know you shit. Take words very literal, Danny, so your expert's like, for you, I think, has like a big meaning to you.
No, to me, I do take a lot of words kind of literally when somebody says, oh, man, this is the greatest steak I've ever had. I'm like, Jesus yeah. Christ, this is the greatest shit you've had. So I take words like the extreme words really, you know, seriously. But go on. I'm sorry. WrestleMania.
It's like one of the words they were trying to push was stupendous. Uh-huh. WrestleMania, and to me, it's like, wow, that's a nice adjective there, but I've never really, I've heard stupendous since like the late 80s, like when I was in school and stuff. But yeah, I mean, that's what I'm talking about. Like, you know, I'm the network's resident wrestling expert. I didn't watch it this year. I mean, I watched bits and pieces of it, but I didn't. It's a two-night event now. Like at this old age, I'm like two fucking nights for WrestleMania.
Because you still have Peacock, right?
Yeah, I got Peacock. I used to have the network, and then when they merged over, and I didn't sign up as part of my internet package. I just knew the main event was going to be Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar again, and I was just like, that doesn't really intrigue me. I know they brought back Stone Cold and stuff, and Cody Rhodes was the other one. I just did not have... Usually, I don't watch as much wrestling as I used to, but I didn't make time for WrestleMania in the past, especially during the pandemic. And needless to say, I wasn't like really hyped up, or WrestleMania didn't draw me in that name, that brand WrestleMania. And I don't know, it felt kind of weird. You know, I saw the results on Twitter and I'm reading stuff, and I was just like, yeah, man, I'm not feeling it, you know?
Now, was Cody Rhodes. I know there was big secrets if he was going to come over from AEW. Was that known by the time WrestleMania came around, or was it a secret?
I mean, even Cody Rhodes admitted it in some of his post-match interviews. Like, it was like the world's worst-kept secret. Like, everybody knew. And then there was, like, rumors that he hasn't agreed to the contract, and he has.
But I'm saying WWE's advertising. Did they say Cody Rhodes coming on tonight? No. You know, it was
so the
was
whole thing. Yeah, the whole thing. He was gonna Seth Rollins, who his opponent was gonna be, and the rumor was that they were trying to find somebody. And then eventually they came to Cody Rhodes, the American Nightmare, and he did talk about how he was gonna come as like that AEW type of guy, and like he did mention that when he talked to Vince and Bruce Pritchard, he's like he told him like his game plan, and Vince McMahon said, well, if it ain't broke, there's, you know, why fix it if it ain't broke? So they agreed to that. And the other thing he stipulated, he doesn't want to see that Stardust character ever come back. And like always, he's a good talker. They had a pretty good, I mean, I saw highlights of it on YouTube. It was a decent match, but I mean, I wasn't really like, this has to be must watch, you know?
What about the Stone Cold thing? Did you see any of that?
Yeah, did you? I don't know if you clipped. He gave, I didn't see the match, but everybody on Twitter was talking about how Vince McMahon was going to get a stunner and he fucked it up. He botched it. Did you see that?
I did see some YouTube stuff, and it looked like he fell first, and then Stone Cold picked him up, and then even then, it was like a terrible stunner, right?
Yeah, he leaned back and like bounced off the ropes, and then the whole time Stone Cold's just laughing his ass off, and like what are you gonna do, right? This Vince McMahon's like almost 80 years old and shit, and or 77, whatever it is. I don't know. He's just old.
I saw he took his shirt off. Are you gonna be taking your shirt off in your 80s, Andy?
I'm going to try. I mean, I'm going to try to be jacked like Vince McMahon, you know. He was showing videos of him working out for this match. And like I said, the rest of it, I'm like, I don't really know much. I mean, I don't even know if they had a tag team championship match. I just know Intercontinental. Like, it was just like, just watching stuff. Like, it was just whatever was on Twitter and YouTube, that's what I watched. And it was just like, what the fuck, man? Like, this isn't, or maybe I'm just old and like, I still watch older wrestling, but I'm not into like the WWE Raw I used to watch. Like, I used to watch it religiously when I had cable. And then when we ditched cable, I watched the Hulu recap. And like, I don't even know if that's still on, you know? And I'm just like, I don't really watch much of it. If it's not on like YouTube or something, I won't really watch it.
Yeah, go ahead, Noah.
No, I was just gonna say I feel you on that, man. There's times on YouTube I'll rewatch older stuff versus like the new stuff that's coming out. It's just not the same product anymore, and it's hard to invest yourself in something that you don't feel that same sense of connection you had when you watched it back in, you know, the 90s and early 2000s.
And that's the thing. I still listen to like wrestling podcasts. Once, you know, here and there, I got like two that I listen to, and when they talk new people or like AEW, like I watched a handful of stuff. I'm like, who the fuck is this guy? Like, what? Or AEW released like all these wrestlers. I'm like, I don't even know who the fuck these guys are. Same thing with WWE. They released a couple wrestlers this week. I'm like, I don't know who the fuck these people are. And like, it's just that's just where we're at with the state of wrestling. And I don't know, maybe I'll watch it when I have some time to kill, or I'll watch certain matches. But yeah, that's pretty much my recap. I apologize to the fans who are listeners that like kind of want to hear my take on it.
Super your limited expertise, this year. Yeah.
My expertise, because it just sums it up that Vince McMahon not taking that stunner botch is just sums up this review. And then the other thing, we kind of, Scott Hall passed away recently, and the whole NWO thing, and then to hear, you know, to hear to what happened to him and the way he died is, it kind of sucks. And then just, I guess getting older sucks, you know?
Yeah, for sure, man. I saw on Twitter his because I follow his son, because I thought his career path was going fairly well. He was wrestling a lot in Japan and Mexico, and he posted a pic next to the gravesite, and all the Click guys were there. You know, Shawn Michaels, Kevin Nash, X-Pac was there, even DDP was there. But I didn't see Hogan there, and I thought that was kind of weird that Hogan didn't show up to Scott Hall, or maybe he did and he just wasn't part of the Click picture, and it was kind of like, hey, let's get a picture of the Click, but DDP's not in the Click either, so I'm not sure. I don't know if he went.
DDP helped him out a lot at the end, and so that explains why he's – I mean, I don't know. I don't know why Hogan – maybe he was at the funeral, just not the burial. I mean, I don't know. Or – you just never know. I kind of, like you said, Vince isn't there, just Triple H, right? That picture, Triple H, Shawn Michaels, Cody, X-Pac, Nash, and DDP. And I'm like, Like, I don't know who really uploaded it, but I was just, like, intrigued. Like, was it, like, a really close, like, personal small funeral? Or is it, like, open, you know, and all this stuff? Like, that was my only other thing. Because usually when, like, big-time wrestlers die, like, there's just, like, you see pictures of, like, all these wrestlers that are there. Like, you see pictures, like, sneak out. And you really didn't see that for this. You just saw that one picture. Of the click, right.
Well, that's why I was mentioning the click. I didn't know if it was just like if we all went to a party, you know, I'm sure everybody would want to take pictures. But if we wanted to take like a picture of like, hey, let's take a picture of the high school guys, then just the high school guys would get together, not everybody else. So I don't know if that's what that picture was. But the only person that's kind of odd in there is DDP. I understand him being there because he was really close to Scott Hall. But maybe Hogan was in the background, but, you know, they were like, oh, we want to just take a click picture.
Like, I always imagine, it's like, at my funeral, you guys take a picture, and there's this guy that was part of a podcast, the only knew in college, was there in that picture. I'll be like, what the fuck is he doing here?
Right.
Like, this don't make sense. But, no, yeah, man, it's, you know, the Razor Ramon to Scott Hall and like all the issues that he had, or in wrestling as they call it, demons. It was kind of not sad. It was just, I guess you were cool. You know, he got into he got sober for a while, and then the pandemic hit, and he just relapsed. And then with the, you know, it just sucks, man. And like, you don't want like people that you watch growing up, like especially me, and like in the early 20s and like late teens, like in the high school, and I graduate and I see him, and like the way how he passed away kind of sucks. And just want to give my two cents about that. I mean, like, I watched, like I said, that was like when wrestling came back with a resurgence, and just to see how they ended up, you know, it kind of sucks.
Yeah, I've never had a substance abuse problem like that, or at least I don't think I have. And to me, I'm sympathetic to stuff like that, and sometimes I just find it, I don't understand. But I have known of a few people close to me that have had substance issues, so I know it could hit anybody. But yeah, it's you know. It's tough that he never got over his demons.
Yeah, man. Like I said, if he admit, like, he did what he could to get help and stuff. But yeah, man, just sad. I hope he, you know, he's not dealing with any of that stuff now. And it's just sad to see what happened to him. And at the end there, and you wish you would have had a better outcome, but life over intervenes, and the pandemic fucked up a lot of people. And I think he took the pandemic, took one more person, even though we're kind of hoping towards the end, it is what it is, but took one more from us, and it sucks. But let's change it up a little bit, something a little more somber and happier. Noel, I see you watched a movie, I don't know, that reminds you of Idiocracy. I never heard of this movie. What's up with this movie?
Well, unfortunately, it's not really a much cheerful movie, so it's kind of going to be a sad one. But
hey, man. But yeah, as long as it takes your mind off of death here.
Well, let's see.
Yeah.
So I watched this movie. It's called Don't Look Up, and it stars Leonardo DiCaprio, Jennifer Lawrence, Jonah Hill, and a few other really high recognizable actors. The movie is about Leonardo DiCaprio and Jennifer Lawrence, who are scientists that they're like astrologists. They look in the sky, they look in the telescopes, and they find like near Earth objects, or just, you know, anything out there like stars and stuff like that. Then one day Jennifer Lawrence sees something weird. It looks like a comet that's you know, kind of near Earth in the solar system. And so she spots this comet that's never been identified before, and they named the comet after her. Comet DiBiase, I think, is what they called it. And then she asked Leonardo DiCaprio, like, hey, can you run some numbers and you know, calculate some shit. And so he starts calculating some stuff in front of them, in front of the team of scientists. And then he's like, they're asking him, well, where's it going to go? What's the trajectory of this thing? And so he's calculating. And then he has a moment of like seriousness. He's like, holy shit, what the fuck, is this right? And then he erases it and he does it again. And he's like, holy fuck. And they're like, why is it zero? And like the fact that it gets to zero means that it actually impacts the Earth. So the comet is on a trajectory. Trajectory to hit the Earth directly, and it's going to hit the Earth in probably about like 3 months or something like that from when they found it.
Wow.
So it pretty much means the Earth is going to end, because the size of the comet's like maybe about like 4 miles, 4.5 miles across, something like that. So it's definitely enough to end, you know, all life on Earth, essentially. It'll cause mile-wide tsunamis, just pretty much incinerate everything from the blast. So they decide, like, all right, well, we need to get this information out to the public, get it out to the people, and get it out to, like, you know, the authorities and stuff, like certain maybe NASA and government, all that. So they go on. I'm not going to summarize the whole movie for you guys, but essentially it's a comedy that's like kind of a dark comedy, because it kind of makes fun of how the world is just so ridiculous right now. Everything's about being woke, about being on social media, getting clout, Twitter, all that shit. And it kind of uses all those things that are going on, the whole everything that happened during COVID, misinformation and all that stuff. It just uses it all to twist it in a way that makes it kind of humorous. Like, we laugh at ourselves at how stupid we are,
right?
How stupid humans can be. And I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Idiocracy. It's came out in 2006. Really fucking great movie, man. And it looks very similar to what happened there, where it's like people are just, that not that they're brainwashed, but they're in this like program. It's like there's like a habit of just like not truly being alert and aware and conscious. It's more like they're just following what the media or what the government says. And like, if you see it in social media that, oh yeah, don't look up, you know, all right, yeah, we're not going to look up. There's nothing up there, nothing to worry about. And like, it's so ridiculous. Like, that people truly, they don't understand the gravity of the information that they're being presented, and they make it like seem like it's nothing. They're going to figure it out. It's all good. And meanwhile, this comet's heading towards Earth. And the scientists, they're like freaking out because nobody's taking them seriously. Not even the president. The president's like, you know, yeah, we'll sit and assess. We'll see. there's supposed to be some guy that's kind of like Tesla, or not Tesla, Elon Musk.
Right.
There's a guy that's kind of like, it's a mix between Steve Jobs and Elon Musk. So he's like this really like
ridiculously
rich and tech smart guy, who comes up with all these different ideas to try to stop it. But I don't know if you guys are going to watch it. I don't want to give away too much, but let's just say that his plan has more to do with making money than it does with saving the Earth.
Dude, you ever see, there's two movies that bring to mind, like dark black comedy. You ever seen the Steve Carell Looking for a Friend for the End of the World? It's kind of like
familiar, man.
It's kind of like this. They announce there's an asteroid coming. People like fucking freak out, quit their jobs, and just fucking around. So, you know, people get uncivilized quickly. And then the other one, which is kind of more dramatic, Children of Men. You ever seen that one where it's like the end of the world and the Earth's like the people, humans can make babies. They're infertile.
Clive Owen, yeah.
Yeah, and then, you know, the guy, he sees this friend to help him, you know, help this character, and he has, like, all this, like, art and, like, that he saved that he got from other countries that collapsed, because Britain's one of the last countries standing. And he asked him, how can you have all this shit? Like, no one's going to remember any of this. None of this shit's going to matter, like, in 100 years. He goes, I just don't think about that, man. I'm like, I'm living for now. Like, you know, I know the world's fucked up, but I'm not going to think about that. So I think that's a lot of sentiment that a lot of people have, you know?
Yeah, that movie you're talking about, this Don't Look Up, I thought it was a comedy, but now from some of you know, description, it almost sounds like it's a drama. But yeah, I know that's how some dark comedies are supposed to be, where there's a little hints of comedy, but more a drama in a negative light, kind of.
Well, the ending, man, is a little difficult to watch. Because at the very end of it, you kind of get in this like connective mode where like you feel immersed in the movie. It's pretty well done, you know. It's not the greatest movie in the world or nothing, but it's pretty well done. I give it like a 7 out of 10 for sure, maybe even a little higher. But for now, it's 7 out of 10. I think is a solid number.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say the ending's really dark, you know, obviously, and. I think I would do it differently. I think I wouldn't be so just a typical boring, like, actions. Like, if the world's going to end, what are you going to do? Are you going to just have dinner with your family? Are you just going to sit down and have dinner? Maybe, right? Like, but I think for me, I'd probably do some, not crazy shit, but, like, I'd party. I would have, like, festivities going on. I'd try to, like, really appreciate everything about life that I enjoy before it's over, you know.
You like it, like I was gonna say, like the movie, I can't even fucking remember the name of it, the movie between after Return of the Jedi and the new Star Wars sequel, Rogue One, or whatever, is it Rogue One, with that girl, and then they're gonna blow up that planet, and then they're just on a beach kissing, and then they fucking die because the Empire drops a fucking nuke and shit.
Yeah, that's Rogue One.
Is it Rogue One? I'm like, when I saw that, like, this is pretty fucking sad for a Star Wars movie, man. And like, I'm like, that's when I'm like, this is when Disney took this shit over, and I'm just like, Disney put this shit out. Like, this is so fucking sad for Star Wars, man. So, but I mean, maybe that's what's going on now. Like, each genre or whatever has their own tone, and like. I mean, yeah, bad, sad endings kind of suck, but I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'll check it out because now I want to see how it ends.
Yeah, dude, it's similar to like the Sopranos ending. You're just like, shit, like, there's only one way that could have gone, you know?
They're like, oh, man, aliens are going to come and save us? None of that shit?
No alien stuff. Well, actually, I take that back. There's a clip at the very, very end, there's a clip where... I mean, it all depends on what you mean by aliens, like not like the little green aliens or nothing, but they try to.
I think Andy means the guys crossing borders and stuff like that.
I'm talking about fucking aliens from fucking Zeta Reticula, man.
No, nothing like that. There's one planet they have to escape Earth and find a near like planet that's similar to Earth, and they cryogenically freeze. So some people will make it to that other planet. And obviously there's aliens on there, which is its own set of like funny moments, man. You guys should watch the movie. I do recommend it.
It's I sent the guys these memes. You've seen The Arrival, right?
Yeah.
Where they're trying to communicate with that black fucking goo alien thing.
Yeah.
And the girl's holding up signs, and it says, when aliens first come to Earth, and on the sign it says, we fucking ? That's what I want to put to those aliens when they call me shit, like, we fucking or what?
Yeah, that's so fucked up. Was that a meme you said?
Yeah, it's a meme, and they're like, when aliens arrive to Earth, and then the girl's holding up the sign like, we fucking ? To the alien. And I'm like, what's the second part of this meme? I want to see what the alien says.
Yeah, right? You'd probably be like, we already did, you don't even know. but yeah, another thing that I wanted to talk about, there's this anime that I've been watching, and I've been watching it for over 10 years. It's essentially like the Japanese version of like Simpsons, but it's not comedy necessarily, but it's an anime that's just ridiculously long running, like the Simpsons. It's been since 1999. And, unfortunately, if it went on hiatus, like about almost a month ago, their company Toei Animation got hacked. They don't know who hacked them, obviously, but I think they're trying to track them down, and they're trying to fix pretty much everything they got fucked up, because I guess the hackers possibly deleted some stuff or, you know, moved stuff around, and just it made production very, very difficult for the anime, and not just this one, but other animes that they produce. One Piece being the biggest one of them all. And so One Piece, imagine like every week you watch Monday Night Raw, and you've been doing it for the last 15 years, and the whole country, like, or the majority of the country watches Monday Night Raw, and all of a sudden, for like a whole month, they're not going to have any Monday Night Raws, or maybe Damn. 2 months. They technically send indefinitely. They don't know when the anime will come back, but they're also saying they're going to try to get it by the end of this month, April. So, I mean, hopefully it comes back sooner than later, because I know a lot of people are disappointed that it's part of their weekly routine, and so it's like, it's almost like a ritual at this point. It's like a habit. And so not having that anime, even though it's only 20 minutes of their week, you know, it's still, it kind of sucks. So
yeah,
hopefully they figure that out.
Yeah. I know Junior's a fan.
Yeah. He still watches it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't know if he watches it on the daily, but I know he's a fan.
It's a great show, man. I really recommend you guys get into it if you guys even watch anime at all. But I know back in the day you guys used to watch some anime, but definitely it's one of the better ones. I would rank it in my top five of favorite animes of all time.
Nice. Yeah, I tried, but it looks a little too goofy, man. You know, you got like a pear that you eat and you get like stretching powers, and
yeah,
it just looked kind of weird. I was just like, I don't know if I'm into this.
You know, it starts out that way. It starts out like almost like a kid's show, right? Where it's kind of goofy, it's kind of funny, but they age. And when I started watching it, I was maybe, you know, 16, 17, something like that. So I was close to the age of the characters. And as I age, they age too, and they get older, and they get, you know, more serious and stronger, and the powers and stuff that they do, it's like it's almost like Dragon Ball Z. Like, they power up and they get stronger and they keep going for the bigger, better fights. And it's just very, very entertaining. It's got a ridiculously long story, and we're barely getting to the thick of it. So having it taken away, it's kind of a bummer, but, you know, hopefully it'll be back by the end of the month, and we can get back to that normal routine. But switching gears here, I wanted to talk to you, Daniel. So it looks like you finally finished Dexter, man. I wanted to ask you about that. How'd you like the new Dexter?
Yeah, the new Dexter. Well, I not only did I watch the new blood, but I also rewatched all the however many seasons there were, six seasons or whatever it was. Alana had never seen it before, so we started watching it from season one, and she got hooked. She got hooked. She really liked the show. We watched everything. And just like a lot of people, she didn't really care for the ending of mm-hmm. the final season before the New Blood season, which is the most recent that came out last year, I want to say. But yeah, she really dug the whole thing. She thought the whole show was very well put together. It has a lot of an old TV show feel to it, episodic. There's the whole season's one huge arc, but then there's these small encapsulated stories in each episode. And it's usual TV 101, but it's got a really cool premise where there's a serial killer that kills in Miami. And right away, as the episodes go on, you kind of become endeared with him and you understand why he does what he does, even though he's a serial killer. And you kind of cheer for him in a lot of aspects, even though he's a killer and he's killing people, but you really cheer for him. So I got to say, towards the end, even myself watching this now for the second time in a row, or the second time all the way through, I found a little bit of the end to be a little, you know, wash, rinse, you know, that whole trope where you're just doing the same thing over and over again. So towards the end, I was just happy that it was over, buttoned up. But the whole reason we did that whole thing is that we wanted to see, or at least I wanted to see, the New Blood episodes. So we watched that, and this show is different. It's got a lot more cinematography. Have you seen it, Noel?
Yeah, I actually finished it not too long ago, yeah.
Okay, yeah, so it's totally different cinematography. and it looks different. It looks a lot more modern. Different camera angles. It doesn't follow the same original Dexter kind of light colors, you know, all this like fluorescent Miami colors, because it's Miami, right? Yeah. The whole thing is like gray and blue because it's set in like Alaska or is it Alaska? Well,
it's like northern New York, so like upstate New York, and yeah, it's during the winter, I believe.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. So I couldn't remember. I guess he had the whole story is that he went to Alaska to escape, and then he came back, I think, or that was his story on why he was gone, or whatever.
But real quick, then, how far from the original series finale to this? How many years has it been? Like a decade, 8 years, 5 years?
I think in real life, it's been like 4 years,
okay,
like in our time. But in the episode, I want to say it's only been like a year from the end of the last one.
Oh, really?
Well, no, it's got to be more because, you know, at the, you know, spoilers, at the end of the last season, his kid takes off with his girlfriend, and the kid is like 4, 5, maybe.
So this ran 2006 to 2013, and then the newest one was 2021.
Okay, so yeah, so that's real world, but I guess in the TV show, the kid was like 5 years old, and when Dexter meets him again in this new blood, he's a teenager. He's like in high school. So,
oh, okay.
So, you know,
it's like 10.
Yeah, 10, 13 years have passed by since he saw him. But yeah, man, the new blood, I liked it. I liked the ending, which Alana didn't like.
Yeah.
And I liked the entire season. I thought it was good. The cinematography really like blew me away and how different it was, but how modern and how clean it was. And even the credit, the end credits were really neat, how they tied to the episode. And so every end credit was different based on the episode and its theme. I just thought it was really well put together. I thought the ending, the way it was, really fit, and I think was more of what people were expecting on the original ending from the original run. So I was kind of expecting that. I didn't know it was going to happen like that, but I was kind of expecting something like that. And I think it puts a nice button on it. My gut feeling is we'll probably see another Dexter, but now probably with his kid or something along them lines. But
what'd you think about the dynamic between them two?
I think it was the typical, you know, you got to create some kind of conflict. There's been separation. I mean, that's the whole drama in the season, is them and their relationship. I thought that last episode was kind of rushed. It was, mm-hmm. you know, they were like almost fighting the whole time or kind of having conflict back and forth. And then it was the last episode that he finally like, all right, cool. You're my dad. You're my son. And then here's the outcome to that. And I thought it was kind of rushed. I was kind of hoping to have maybe another episode or two where they would have resolved what they did. And then they're kind of working a little closer together until where they're not hating each other. But I thought it was a good show. I enjoyed it. Alana, not so much. She didn't enjoy the ending and didn't enjoy the way it came together. But
but usually when you guys watch together, is that how it rolls, Danny? You love it, she fucking hates it? Or she's like, I don't like this part?
No, man. We like a lot of the same stuff. I mean, now, granted, she watches a lot of stuff that she doesn't really, like, she wouldn't volunteer to watch. But because I pick it, she'll watch it with me, kind of thing. And a lot of stuff she'll even mention. She's like, I don't even know where you picked this thing out of, but it was weird and good. Or she'll be like, this thing looks dumb, you know, like an hour into it, kind of thing. So it runs the gamut for sure. But
she's like, she wasted an hour of my life. Thanks.
Right. But she does watch a lot of stuff that I tend to watch. And I try to be mindful of that when I pick stuff. I try to be like, all right, what was the last thing we watched? All right, that was kind of an Alana thing. So, all right, this time I'm going to pick something that's more weird and more my kind of stuff. And then I try to flip-flop it a lot or best I can. But yeah, maybe I kind of cheat and go a little more towards my side more than usual. But yeah.
Nah, just getting back to Dexter. I mean, all I know of the show is what you guys say about it, and this whole. I know you've seen it a couple times, Danny and Noel, but I have no interest in seeing it. Even when you said that this guy's in Edward James Olmos, that kind of like, maybe, but I'm like, eh, like I'm in no rush to see it.
Yeah, I thought that was one of their best seasons. That was towards the tail end of the original Dexter run. And yeah, man, he plays a good character in the show, and he's there for almost the whole arc of that season, and he plays a really, really cool character. So yeah, that's probably one of the better seasons out there. But yeah, last thing I kind of want to just talk about really briefly, I just recently got glasses, and you know, it's kind of weird, Andy, that nobody's really mentioned it, you know, that I wear them. Now, I, you know, before I used to wear glasses here and there. It was very rare that I would wear them because I don't really need them too much. I could, like, I'm not wearing them right now, and I could see fine. It's more for driving or long distance that I really need to wear them because I can't see that far. And now that I'm kind of in a supervisor role at my work, I need to look at a lot of work that other people are doing. So I'm kind of looking over their shoulder, and it was really difficult without my glasses. I couldn't see the screen, you know, they would be showing me something and I'm like squinting, trying to decipher what it is, or I'm getting really close to them to kind of see what the hell's on their screen so I could be able to see it, what they're trying to explain to me. So I started wearing them more regularly, and I actually went out and bought a new pair that kind of fit my fat face a little better. And, and you know, what I thought was weird, which I didn't need anybody to make a comment to it, but that nobody was making any comments. Like, it wasn't like, oh shit, you got glasses? What happened? You know, did something hit your eye or something?
Thank you for acknowledging me for being the other grumpy old man on this podcast. But, I did notice. I'm like, well, Danny's wearing glasses every day now. So I guess I fucking finally hit him. And I'm like, well, at least he's taking it like a champ. So, like, should I be an asshole and bust his balls and say, like, you wearing them like 24/7 now? Or should I just, like, let him get accustomed. Then I'll bust. And then I'm like, I'll bust your balls. But for the record, Danny, I bought safety glasses.
I noticed that. I noticed that sometimes style. You wear them. Yeah.
And then when I wear them, a lot of people were making comments about them, about how fucking I look more professional. And I have a stern face and people take my direction. Tell them what to do and shit. The only one that laughed at me was the HR lady, but that's about it.
I did notice that, but I had a similar thought process. I'm like, should I mention this to Andy? And I'm like, I don't want to bust his balls for it.
And
poor guy's probably going blind.
Those are the glasses that protect you from the blue light from the computers. And once in a while, I put them on just to see. And then, like, you know what? I do see a difference, but it's nothing critical.
I thought the same thing. I'm like, maybe people are just trying to be sensitive. And, you know, it's this whole woke thing now that, you know, don't say nothing. You know, you might offend Daniel or you might hurt his feelings. But I just thought it was weird. I thought it was weird, but I did think that as well. But yeah, I just kind of wanted to mention that. I thought it was weird that nobody really. I
mean, for the record, the frames that you got, they do look kind of 90s to me. Maybe we should have gotten something like with a thicker frame, I think.
I did pick it on purpose just because of that, because I thought it looked
like
a little retro, but not as modern. For it being my daily wear, that, like you mentioned, I've been wearing them every day now for a while. So yeah, just want to kind of bring that up. But
just for the record, everybody in your family wears glasses now, right? And Alana.
Noel doesn't wear them. Efren.
Thank God, man.
Efren wears them on occasion. I've seen him wear it on occasion. So I think he might be similar to me where he needs them for long distance. Saul doesn't wear them at all. So it's really just my mom.
Your dad's either, right?
My dad is blind. not legally blind, but he does have problems seeing things up close. But he's one of those old proud guys that he's just like, I ain't wearing glasses. I just won't be able to see shit. But yeah, I think, Andy, I think that's enough about us three, man. Let's jump into our article of the week, man. All right, man. So our article this week, a little bit of an article, got a few that we picked up here, but more of just a conversation thing here. I know, Andy, you were glued to the Oscars. Noel, you don't seem like an Oscar viewer to me. And I got to be honest, I wasn't watching none of that. I don't really watch the Oscars or any other awards, Globe and Globes and all that other garbage. I don't watch none of it. I usually tune in at the end to kind of see what happened and if something surprised me and be like, what, that movie won? I can't believe it. So I guess what I'm getting to here is this is more a conversational piece about what happened at the Oscars. And for everybody out there that hasn't heard about this, basically, Chris Rock was making a few jokes, made a joke about Will Smith's wife. Will Smith at first seemed kind of cool with it, but then got upset, went up to the stage, slapped Chris Rock, open palm slap, came back to his chair, and then yelled off a few obscenities about, you know, keep my wife's out of your name. But what I think is interesting is obviously the situation, but even the reaction afterwards. Now, one of the articles that we're going to post up, it's from the New York Post, and the headline reads, "Most Americans blame Chris Rock over viral Will Smith slap," poll says. This was on March 29th, which I think is kind of weird, but kind of understanding. We'll jump into what we all think about it. But originally, right after the slap, I was kind of in Will Smith's camp, slightly, not too much. But then here's another article that came out just recently, April 7th. It's from Yahoo News or Yahoo Entertainment. It says, a poll, more Americans disapprove of Will Smith hitting Chris Rock a week following the Oscars incident. So two very polarizing different aspects of this entire thing. And I think this is a very polarizing thing. So let's open it up, man. Noel, what are your quick over-the-top thoughts on what happened with the Oscars and the slap?
So, I haven't watched the Oscars in a long, long time, man. So when I saw this, I was like, so they finally got some attention. I think Will was wrong to have done it, first of all.
And you thought this right afterwards?
I thought it immediately when I saw it. I was like, that's not what you do. You know, that's not the proper etiquette. I understand why he did it, and there's a lot more to it. He's been dealing with a lot of stuff lately. His wife's infidelity, the people making fun of him for it, making him seem like a beta, a cuck, and just, you know, bragging on him about it. And then now his wife seems to be kind of controlling and manipulating him. And it could even go deeper than that. It could have to do with some of the, you know, clubs that they're a part of. I'm just gonna say club, not cult, club. And anyway, sometimes things happen and they become mentally unstable, and we saw the results of that at the Oscars. So him hitting Chris is assault. It's illegal. And people getting on his side of it, I think, is a little bit condoning of assault and condoning of something that's illegal, which is not right. It's kind of weird that the country is going that direction. Although I've seen a lot of people defend Chris, and that's a good thing. I do not hate Will for it. You know, a lot of people are really upset at Will Smith. And it's like, damn, like, obviously there's something going on. Obviously he's dealing with a lot of shit. And he didn't beat the shit out of Chris Rock. He just slapped him, right? So it was really fucked up to do it on that moment, because that's going to be there for life, man. Like, for the next 100 years, as long as Earth is still around and there's still, you know, cell phones and all that and smartphones and YouTube, that clip is going to still be around, and it's going to be made memes of for a long, long time.
Right. Andy, what's your quick overall some thoughts on this?
I mean, I haven't watched the Oscars in a while because, you know, like all the political Hollywood nonsense. But I did get I was going to bed and then I saw Will Smith was trending. And then like I saw the clips of it. Like people are like, here's the uncensored version from fucking Japan or something. And I watched it. Like he went up there and he slapped the shit out of him. And I'm like, this has to be like wrestling shit a work. Like no way this is real. They're not gonna just let somebody walk up on stage and slap the shit out of him and go back to sit down and not do anything about it, which was very weird. And then the way Chris Rock handled it, I want to say he was a professional, I guess, but I don't know even his reaction to it. So if some dude walks up and like don't punch you, but he slaps you, it's like what the fuck's going on? It's like some old school like bullshit.
I think it was a little strange.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Like Will Smith, part of me is like, well, he's defending his wife's honor. But if you read as recently as all the shit that comes out is like this, I think he loves his wife more than his wife loves him. What my understanding, and she's publicly embarrassed him. And to me, it's like it's almost like what I see. I mean, I don't know these people personally, but everything I've read and heard, it's like almost like a toxic relationship. And like. And like even their relationship and what they admitted so far on that Facebook show that they had or whatever, the Red Table or whatever, right. It's just been very fucking strange. And I don't know what to make of it. But I mean, to me, I look at Chris Rock. It was a performance. And in when you do that, it's like he's a comedian. So they're used to just shitting people on stage. And they're used to dealing with hecklers, people telling you, like, shut the fuck up or whatever. You're not funny. But to go out there and get fucking slapped, to me, it took it to a whole nother level. And I don't know, man. I'm just surprised how Chris Rock handled it. But I think initially I thought it was like part of the show.
So from all that, I'm getting that you're against what Will Smith was doing, or at least that's what your thoughts are.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see you can't. Can't go up and on a performance because dude that's what I'm saying. When you see anybody get on stage and any type of show, people get fucking tackled and shit, right? And any type of security or any type of performance in like wrestling and baseball, like sports, comedian concerts, people who get on stage instantly get fucking dragged out of there. And that didn't happen this time. So to me, right. That was like, okay, that's the first like, okay, This has to be part of the show. And then the fucking slap, I'm just like, whoa, like, this is some wrestling shit that's going on here. And then he didn't do nothing. He just stood there and he's like, I just got slapped.
Well, I think it's different because Will Smith goes up to the stage. It's not like security is privy to all the little nuances of the Oscars. And they're like, all right, at this point, Erykah Badu is going to come up and start singing with, you know, Elton John or whatever. You know, they don't tell them like, all right, this is the breakdown of our show. So they're kind of sitting back and just I'm assuming security is just kind of hanging back and waiting for like an egregious, you know, thing happening. But if it's just Will Smith walking up to the stage, to me, I would think security would be cool with that because it's Will Smith. And to me, I think Chris Rock, you could see he was kind of stuttering afterwards. Which kind of Chris Rock has a little bit of a, you know, like a stuttering thing. I think it's part of his, you know, vocabulary and it's a part of what makes him a little funny. But he got kind of confused afterwards. So I think the slap was really hard and I think he was a little scared, man. Will Smith's a big guy, man. And, you know, I don't know how fit he was there, but during some of his movies, he's jacked up, man. He's like this huge action guy, man. So
when he was in Ali, he actually trained to box, so he can fuck a guy up. Yeah,
I would assume so, right? For sure. So I could see Chris being a little, you know, scared as to what's gonna go on. Is Will Smith gonna beat the shit out of him on live TV? Now I don't know if it would get to that. I think at that point security would intervene, But yeah, like I quickly mentioned, at first I understood. I'm like, if somebody was making fun of my wife, I'd like to think I'd be a little understanding at first. But if it was a constant thing, then I would get upset. Now, I think, like Noel mentioned, I think there was some family shit that's been going on for years with Will and his wife that this finally just kind of broke the camel's back kind of thing. Now, Chris Rock has made a few jokes about Will's wife in the past, even the last Oscars or Emmys or some show previous to this. He had made some joke because she had boycotted the Oscars because she didn't think there was enough like women actors or black actors being nominated or something like that. So she had boycotted the Oscars for a few years, and Chris Rock made fun of that in a previous show. So I don't know if there was some underlying beef and Will Smith kind of, or not maybe even Will Smith, but more the wife, because originally in the clip you saw Will Smith laugh right after the joke. So it's like, yeah, G.I. Jane. And you could see him, you know, chuckle. And then he looks over to his wife, and his wife's got like a sour look on her face. And I think that's what triggered it. When you're a man and your emotions are so hinged to your wife's emotions, I think that's dangerous. And the wife got upset. You could see she's upset. And so now Will's like, I got to take action. So I thought it was real volatile for sure.
It was a little more to it than that, because so you're right on all that, but there was also a clip that was released, and I think it was about a week ago they released it, that it showed pretty much what Jada said at that moment, and you couldn't see her saying it because she kind of said it like under her breath a little bit, but she said it so that Will could hear. She's like, my other entanglements would have stood up for me, or something like that.
So, no way, man. I can't believe she said that.
Look it up, man. Look into it.
No way, man.
I'm telling
you.
He's
like, yeah, motherfucker, get up, man.
Like, Tupac would have shot that motherfucker. What'd you do? What are you going to do? And then that singer, her kid's friend, you know, allegedly or whatever the fuck. It's just, it's a fucked up situation. And like, just for the Oscar side of it, he did get, you know, there was rumors they were going to take his award and all this, but they just banned them from being in the Oscars or at the show for like 10 fucking years or some bullshit, whatever the fuck that means, but whatever.
He renounced his membership or whatever, like he resigned or whatever.
Yeah, because he got banned for 10 years and he's like, well, I'm resigning.
I think the resigning was prior to that. So I think he resigned from the Oscars, you know, like the union or whatever it is that they have. And then shortly after that, they released and that's probably a good move on his end, because if I knew I was going to get evicted anyways, or you know, I was going to have the presidency or whatever get it taken away from me, I'd probably like step down before that happened so I won't look as ugly.
And then allegedly he checked into like
like a rehab place.
Rehab for like mental stuff or whatever. I mean, I don't know. I saw something like that on Twitter. And then I think Jada yesterday or the day before released, like, I don't even know one fucking protected me and shit. Like, I didn't make him do anything. I was like, God damn. She didn't even like, stand by your man. She like, that motherfucker did it on his own and shit. Like, I was like, damn, this motherfucker can't win.
And, you know, it wasn't even that bad of a joke, man. That's what's crazy. Because he didn't say, like, oh, you're bald, you're ugly, whatever. Nothing like that. Nothing ridiculous. He literally said, or along the lines of saying, hey, I can't wait for G.I. Jane 2. And that was it. That was it, dude.
I think it's a G.I. Jane joke. Like he made a comment, like, after the slap or something, right? Like, it's G.I. Jane.
That's what Will Smith said. Keep my wife's name out your fucking mouth. He kept saying it over. I was like, holy shit, dude.
Even if it was a terrible joke, like he started swearing and calling her a bitch. Dude, he's a comedian, man. You're sitting in the front row. Now, I've been to comedy shows, like live comedy shows, where I'm sitting there and the comics standing in front of me. And he's saying jokes. And most of the time they're going through their set. But sometimes they bring people from the audience into their jokes, and they start making jokes about people in the audience. I think it's just a part of it. So if you're that sensitive, you know, you're going to start breaking apart like a snowflake. Maybe you shouldn't go to shows like that. Maybe you should sit your ass at home, do one of those teleprompter acceptance speech where you tell them, oh, thank you, and everybody, do one of those speeches and stay your ass at home if you're so sensitive. If there's going to be a comedian there, which that's what these shows are hosted for the last few years by comedians because that's the only way they can get people to watch this shit, is to listen to the jokes that these people do where they joke about Hollywood. So if you can't take it, don't go to the show.
Yeah, no, absolutely, yeah, I mean, man. Like this, I said it to me. I haven't watched the Oscars. Every year you read about how the ratings plummeted, and when I heard this, and I'm just like, what? Like the fuck they're doing wrestling shit now? Like, you know, and then people start looking into, you know, their relationship, the Smith family, and like all these videos starts just popping up on YouTube, and like this is fucked up, and like. There's this letter that she released, or her daughter, that's like a picture out there. I don't know if it's real, but like mom's always sad because, you know, Tupac ain't around and he would have been like my daddy or some goofy shit, allegedly. Like, I don't know. It was just like, it's just a strange, strange relationship, and whatever, you know, their relationship, however that works. And then she admitted to that affair with someone who's 20 years younger than her. Right. And Will Smith's not perfect either. There's rumors that, you know, he had relations with the chick Margot Robbie or whatever, that he was doing her and some other.
Suicide Squad?
Yeah, the Harley Quinn. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. And that then he was still messing around, or his first wife or something. I mean, whatever the relationship is, it's just, it's very, I guess that's what, they're not in a real traditional marriage. So, because, you know, that's boring, I guess, to them. And then apparently Jada now is against marriage from this latest video that resurfaced this weekend.
Yeah, who's the one that brought that up?
Doing a little bit of research this morning on this, and that roundtable thing she's talking about, like, I'm against marriage, and before I met Will, and that whole institution, and from death till us part, and basically the mom's like, you need to marry Will because she was pregnant, and like, he's gonna make things right. And she was like, I was crying the whole day of the wedding and all this shit, and Will Smith there's just like laughing, like, don't worry, she'll get through it. And it's just very strange, and she's obviously she's very independent and a strong woman, without a doubt. And I don't know if Will understands that, or he was looking for something more traditional. I really don't know, but I mean, she's makes comments like, I don't need no man, or, you know, I don't need permission from no one to fuck who I want to fuck. You know, and she's made comments about the reason I cheated on you is because you don't know how to fuck. Like, it's just very strange, and they're very open on that Facebook show, that round table or whatever. And I just see clips of it. I haven't seen like full episodes, so it might be taken out of context, but it's not good.
It's like, you remember that Fresh Prince of Bel-Air episode where they go to the Oprah show and the whole family's on stage and they're just getting like ragged on, like some Jerry Springer shit?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like that, but they're doing it to themselves. Yes. With this like round table shit, dude. It's ridiculous, man. And honestly, I feel for Will Smith. I feel bad for him. I feel bad for Chris Rock. But what I don't understand is why people aren't vilifying Jada the way they should be. She was the one that had infidelity. She's the one that's embarrassing him. She's the one that made that comment that her other entanglements would have stood up for her, which made Will go out there and do what he did. And now she's making him go into rehab. Well, not making him, but like by extension, by the way she's treated him, is forcing him to have to seek options.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if this shit ain't working for you and you guys are doing all this crazy stuff, like with the open relationship, just get a fucking divorce. Like, yeah. And I'm not saying that like it's easy, but it's obviously it's not working for you guys. And like one person, to what I see, like I said, I don't know him, is Will's really into it, and he's like really in love with her, and he loves his wife. And she's just like, I like settled when I got with you because the person I really wanted is dead.
Yeah, like, it's there was a up, video. Man. that showed how she feels about Tupac and how she feels about Will. And there was like a body language psychologist or something who like went deep dive. And he's like, when she talks about Tupac, her voice quivers. She gets like emotional and she's like crying. And she talks about Will. It's like, yeah, he's cool.
Well, he's an actor. He's famous. He's done a lot of movies and he helps me out and stuff like that. Like, yeah, it's. And then there's even people bring up how they raise their kids and stuff. I'm not going to get into that, but I mean, there's stuff part of the, I was reading this morning that in the Sony hack, remember that with the, when they got hacked, the studio, there was emails in there saying, let's not do business with the Smiths kids because they're super difficult. And they're basically, they said that they're spoiled brats, and they were kind of blaming Will Smith on that side of it. But yeah, it's obviously they have a different, they look at marriage and family differently, I guess, from traditional people, you know?
Yeah, man, I find the whole thing kind of sad. Now every marriage, I'm sure, has difficulties and things you put up with. Maybe Will decided, I'm going to put up with this strong and some would say crazy chick and be married to her and create a relationship with her in lieu of all that because she makes me happy kind of thing. But with it being a toxic relationship in most eyes, I agree with you, Andy. I don't know why you would still be with her. I would be like,
she probably has something over him, man.
Well,
yeah, that's like one of the things on Twitter is like she has to have something on him.
There's a lot of rumors that
the whole Epstein thing has something to do with that, probably.
Right. I mean, some people are even hinting to Will Smith may be, you know, like bisexual or into legend. Some. So maybe it's something like that. Maybe it's something where she's like, I got the proof here. If you don't stay with me, I'm going to leak this out. You never know. Now we're kind of bringing up rumors and conjecture here. So we don't know. We don't know unless it comes out of their mouth. So I just find it a really toxic relationship. If you take a step back and kind of observe your relationship and it's like this, you kind of got to self-diagnose it and be like, this isn't healthy.
But like, step back and let's talk about like roles. You know, there's, you know, in today's world, it gets a little muddy, but the way we grew up, there's, you know, being a man and being a woman. And you agreed to do this show to talk about your marriage, right? This Facebook show. And she's talking about, yeah, like I was helping this kid out, this young man, and it became an entanglement. And Will's like, well, tell him why. What entanglement? Like, step back, dude. She's basically saying, yeah, I fucked this other guy in front of you. And you're just supposed to sit there and fucking, like, as a man, just take that shit? Like, and it's for not just a private conversation. It's there for the whole world to see. I don't know if you're a man. I don't understand how in that fucking moment you don't just get fucking pissed off and start throwing shit because you're not even dating. You're married.
Even if it was a woman, if it was the other way around, a man telling that to a woman. Well, I
the same thing from a woman to right. get fucking pissed. You tell her, yeah, I'm banging this other chick. You're going to be like, no, it's not like that, but.
Yeah, I didn't want the women activists to come after you, and I just wanted to bring that caveat. That even if it was the other way around, it would still be upsetting.
That's what I'm talking about, being a fucking man. Like, people shit on that, but come on, dude. Someone's telling you some other dude's fucking your wife. How the fuck you don't get pissed off, I'll never know. Even if the rumor is, you know, allegedly that the guy asked Will, and he said, yeah, go for it, it's cool. And, like, maybe he just didn't want to be a part of it or he didn't want to know. But come on, man. Like, that's just shit. That's embarrassing. That's degrading. And then it's not a private conversation that everybody sees that. And then people had a field day, other comedians and podcasters just talking about that whole thing. And he's there crying. It's like, this is, like, fucked up. This is toxic, man. Like, just evil.
And it went on for a couple of years. It wasn't like a one-time thing. She was dating this younger guy for a couple of years.
It was her son's, like, friend. Like,
yeah.
It's fucked up. It's fucked up across all across the board, you know?
Wasn't it like, what's his name? Hogan's wife, when she left him and she went with like some really young guy?
Yeah, he was like a pool
guy or something. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it was crazy. Like ridiculous. Yeah. Like, it ain't even like a dude in his 20s. Like, you know, it's just like, it's, I don't want to say a child, but yeah, come on, man. It's just weird. And like, that's why I said, when you don't want to be with somebody and like, when you do shit like this, it just prolongs the problem, and it just makes it even it just stranger, and shit gets more fucked up if you, because you're gonna fake it just to like make the marriage work. It's just it's very strange.
Right. I hope this whole thing resolves itself without any like more conflict between Will Smith and Chris Rock, but I think Will Smith needs help, and I think it's, if the rumors are true that he checked himself in for mental help, I hope so. And I hope it helps him out, because that relationship seems toxic. And what Chris Rock did, I don't think is harsh by any means. That's his job. That's what he's there for. So hopefully this resolves itself soon, because it's pretty sad.
I agree, man. I think it's tough. He obviously wasn't immediately in Hollywood. He worked his way up to that. But I think once you're in this like world, in this bubble, like kind of even an echo chamber, you're bombarded with thoughts that are not always your own, and you kind of go with it because that's what everyone else is doing in Hollywood. And so, you know, who knows what kind of stuff he's gotten into. But like you said, man, hopefully he finds the help. Hopefully he steps away from it, kind of like Dave Chappelle did when he stepped away from his show. He kind of got the help he needed. He got back to censor. He went to
Africa to smoke crack. Which he talked about on Joe Rogan's podcast, if you ever saw it. Which is like, they said I went to Africa to smoke crack. Like, how stupid is this?
Yeah, I mean, whatever you got to do, I guess. Well, anyway, guys, that's that wraps things up for today. I just want to say thank you so much for joining us on the Freeform Network. If you're not already, please follow us on Facebook at Freeform Network, on Twitter at FFR Podcast. And if you have any questions or suggestions, the email to drop that by is ffmquestions@gmail.com. Again, from Freeform Radio, my name is Noel, and we have Daniel here.
Yes, sir. Go out there, enjoy your day. Respect your wife and husband, and don't be slapping people.
And we got Andy.
It's all good, Andy, and yeah, let us know if your partner ever told you like I cheated on you, and you're just like, oh, okay. Like, I would like to really read some of those stories, and I would like for us to react to it, because it's very, very strange. But send them at ffnquestions@gmail.com, and you guys enjoy your week.
Most definitely. If you have a significant other, make sure to respect them. Otherwise, they're not your significant other. We wish you a great night and a beautiful tomorrow. Take care.
Dad.